TED Audio Collective.
This TED Talk features education innovator Alvin Irby, recorded live at TED Residency 2017.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here to keep a pulse on environmental trends. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy all the stocks in a theme as is or customize to better fit your investing goals. All in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Annalise Riles, professor of law at Northwestern University, anthropologist, and host of Everyday Ambassador, a new podcast that peels back the curtains of high-stakes diplomacy and gives everyone backstage access to the most powerful methods of leadership. On each episode, we'll break things down into deceptively simple moves that everyone can make to help build a more peaceful and sustainable world. So join me and become an everyday ambassador on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
As an elementary school teacher, my mom did everything she could to ensure I had good reading skills. This usually consisted of weekend reading lessons at our kitchen table while my friends played outside. My reading ability improved, but these forced reading lessons didn't exactly inspire a love of reading. High school changed everything. In 10th grade, my regular English class read short stories and did spelling tests. Out of sheer boredom, I asked to be switched into another class. The next semester, I joined Advanced English. We read two novels and wrote two book reports that semester. The drastic difference in rigor between these two English classes angered me and spurred questions like, where did all these white people come from? My high school was over 70% Black and Latino, but this advanced English class had white students everywhere. This personal encounter with institutionalized racism altered my relationship with reading forever. I learned that I couldn't depend on a school, a teacher, or a curriculum to teach me what I needed to know. And more out of like rebellion than being intellectual, I decided I would no longer allow other people to dictate when and what I read. And without realizing it, I had stumbled upon a key to helping children read: identity. Instead of fixating on skills and moving students from one reading level to another, or forcing struggling readers to memorize lists of unfamiliar words, we should be asking ourselves this question: how can we inspire children to identify as readers? Deshaun, a brilliant first grader I taught in the Bronx, he helped me understand how identity shapes learning. One day during math, walk up to Deshaun and I say, Deshaun, you're a great mathematician. He looks at me and responds, I'm not a mathematician, I'm a math genius. Okay, Deshaun, right? Reading, completely different story. Mr. Irby, I can't read. I'm never gonna learn to read, he would say. I taught Deshaun to read, but there are countless Black boys who remain trapped in illiteracy. According to the U.S. Department of Education, more than 85% of Black male fourth graders are not proficient in reading. 85%. The more challenges to reading children face, the more culturally competent educators need to be. Moonlighting as a stand-up comedian for the past 8 years, I understand the importance of cultural competency, which I define as the ability to translate what you want someone else to know or be able to do into communication or experiences that they find relevant and engaging. Before going on stage, I assess an audience. Are they white? Are they Latino? Are they old, young, professional, conservative? Then I curate and modify my jokes based on what I think will generate the most laughter. While performing in a church, I could tell bar jokes, but that might not result in laughter. As a society, we're creating reading experiences for children that are the equivalent of telling bar jokes in a church. And then we wonder why so many children don't read. Educator and philosopher Paulo Freire believed that teaching and learning should be two-way. Students shouldn't be viewed as empty buckets to be filled with facts, but as co-creators of knowledge. Cookie-cutter curriculums and school policies that require students to sit statue still or to work in complete silence, these environments often exclude the individual learning needs, the interests, and the expertise of children, especially Black boys. Many of the children's books promoted to Black boys focus on serious topics like slavery, civil rights, and biographies. Less than 2% of teachers in the United States are Black males, and a majority of Black boys are raised by single mothers. There are literally young Black boys who have never seen a Black man reading or never had a Black man encourage him to read. What cultural factors, what social cues are present that would lead a young Black boy to conclude that reading is even something he should do? This is why I created Barbershop Books. It's a literacy nonprofit that creates child-friendly reading spaces in barbershops. The mission is simple: to help young Black boys identify as readers. Lots of Black boys go to the barbershop once or twice a month. Some see their barbers more than they see their fathers. Barbershop Books connects reading to a male-centered space and involves Black men and boys' early reading experiences. This identity-based reading program uses a curated list of children's books recommended by Black boys. These are the books that they actually want to read. Scholastic's 2016 Kids and Family Report found that the number one thing children look for when choosing a book is a book that will make them laugh. So if we're serious about helping Black boys and other children to read when it's not required, we need to incorporate relevant male reading models into early literacy and exchange some of the children's books that adults love so much for funny, silly, or even gross books like Gross Greg. You call them boogers. Greg calls them delicious little sugars. That laugh, that positive reaction, or gross reaction some of you just had, Black boys deserve and desperately need more of that. Dismantling the savage inequalities that plague American education requires us to create reading experiences that inspire all children to say three words: I'm a reader. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.